You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, this is Adam Torres, and I'm here to tell you that it has never been easier to start your very own podcast. At Mission Matters, our goal is to amplify stories that matter. That means we want to help you start your podcast because your story matters. We can do this in three different ways. One, join our podcast school and take a free or paid course. Two, visit our resources page where we've already figured out what you need, such as where to host your podcast. Or three, heck, we can even do everything for you through our podcast agency, including editing for cheaper than you can do in-house. Oh, and no contracts, services month to month. Get started by heading over to missionmatters.com and click on Start a Podcast. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, today I have Peter Wishney on the line, and he is a podiatrist and owner of Family Foot and Ankle Specialist, and he's also a business leadership coach. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. So I'm excited to get into today's topic with you. So we're going to talk about how you're helping small business owners gain financial and time freedom, emphasis on that time part of it. So we're going to go into that and what that means to you and to some of your clients. But before we do, just give the audience a little bit more of your background. Tell us a little bit more about how you got started in your career and in business, please.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. So I'm a podiatrist. I've been a podiatrist for about 33 years. I never worked for anyone, been in practice for 30 and a half years. Since I was 9 years old, I wanted to be a doctor. And as I got older, I wanted to be a doctor to help lots of people who do a lot of great things. But I wanted to be a pediatrician, but I stopped wanting to do that because, you know, the kids are great, but sometimes the parents wake you up in the middle of the night. And for like a 99.9 degree temperature, and you're working crazy hours, you're not getting paid as well as some other physicians. And I love sports medicine, I love sports, and with the foot and ankle, you can treat anything with the foot and ankle, maybe dermatology, neurology, orthopedics. So there's a lot of variety, and you can set your own hours. So that's how I got into podiatry. And then I don't know what it was, Adam, but I decided not to work for anyone, open my own practice. And like any business person, you learn on the fly, you make mistakes, and then you get better at it over time.
Man, I'm happy you share that, and I'm also happy that you didn't glamorize it, because this is the thing. Like, so when I thought about it, like, and when I think about like business coaches and people that are, you know, that help others, a lot of times they have that in their heart. It's part of them. But for me, I like guys that have been like you that have been in business. You probably made every mistake at some point in your career when it comes to running a business or something else, and you learn, like you said, you learn over time, and now you have this wealth of knowledge, and you have like all of these experiences, and instead of just kind of keeping them to yourself and just, you know, taking it to the golf course and, you know, just hanging out, like you're sharing that with other people. So I think that's a great transition to today's topic. So let's go further into it. So helping small business owners gain financial and time freedom. You know, what led you on this path to start helping others like this?
You know, most of my colleagues who own their practices and I'm also around other business people. We all have the same problem. I don't care if it's a medical, you own a medical company, you may be a landscaper and own a landscaping business, contracting business. It all starts off with you're busting your butt initially, which is fine. You're working late hours, you're working on weekends, you have staff that you can't rely on, and they leave you at the wrong time, obviously. You have to pay your bills, you have to have enough revenue You all have the same issues. So, you know, and then I don't know what it was, but from day one, I put in systems and protocols. And the biggest mistakes I made initially were like hiring the wrong people. But I'll tell you what I really learned. I was 29 years old when I started, and there's no way at 29 years old, being in school all these years and never working for anyone, that you know how to be a good leader. You don't know how to lead others. And I'm a John Maxwell certified leadership coach. And the reason I decided to become that is because I read a lot of his books, almost all of his books. And by reading his books, I was able to learn to take a person that that I hired, maybe be like wet behind their ears, but you know what, but they have so much potential. And sometimes we love to hire people, Adam, who like so experienced to save time. Oh, they're so experienced. I'll take this experienced person who's been working for the other company for 20 years and put them in our office, and they'll be able to do the job like fantastic from day one. And that's never the case, because you do it differently than the guy down the street. And now you have to retrain this person. But if you have someone that's young and eager, doesn't mean that the ones that experience are no good either. But if they're young and eager, smart, and they have great personality, which you cannot train, if you have that right person, you can. That's the only way you can grow your business, and without you working harder. If you want more time and more money from your business, you need to spend the time coaching others. Like I use a sports analogy. You know, you're a coach, you're a head football coach, and you're there. You don't necessarily make the plays, but you're there to make sure the plays are executed properly and people are well trained. You can become a coach to your team and get your players, your teammates, your team members to make decisions based upon the mission and the vision that you put upon the organization, that you all agreed upon. And you can let your staff go make those decisions, because they'll be the right decisions 9.5 out of 10 times. And because you just, you train them properly. And that is the key to freedom, proper training. And then once you train key members, you no longer have to keep on doing the training. I have a trainer in each department of my business. So when I hire a new front desk person, a new assistant, a new financial person, the trainer in that department will train the new person. I no longer have to do that. So if you don't like to do something, but if you're doing it, first of all, it's costing you money if you're doing something you don't like to do. Get a person who can do it better than you, who knows how to do it, who's smart, and you can rely upon, and just say, this is our goal here, and get them to achieve that goal. You'll have a lot more time in life.
That's awesome. And so this next question, I don't want it to seem like a loaded question, because that's not how I mean it, but it's not. But I just want your take on it, because I know, because I know the answer to this question is going to vary from person to person. It's going to vary from, you know, practice, from business, a lot of things, but nobody intentionally goes into this thing like wanting to do something wrong. Like they're not thinking of it. Like obviously every business owner has the best intentions, but I know there's some common themes or some common things that often trip up business owners like over and over. And working with as many people, and now that I know you're a certified trainer on that, I mean that's a big deal. It's a big name, and I know you've seen a lot. So what do you think are some of these common things that just over and over again you see are just tripping up these business owners that maybe they can't see right now? And the reason I ask you this question is because there's some people listening right now that are like, oh, this guy's a podiatrist, or oh, he's helping other people, or this doesn't apply to me, or not me, because I do it too, by the way. So I'm not picking on my audience, I'm picking on me. So I'm asking for some counseling here. So what are some of those common things that people do over and over again that just be like, oh, this is gonna hurt. Like they need to fix this.
There's a bunch of things that come across my mind right now. First thing is micromanaging. And this is, if you are a small business owner, you want things to be done right. And I've seen this in every single field of business, where you just walk around and you're looking for what's going on wrong in your business instead of what's going on right. Because I guarantee you there are a lot of good things that's going on in your business. And if you could compliment your staff for saying, you know, Mary, that was a great job how you handled that phone call. Be specific on what that person did. Compliment that person in front of your whole organization And the other, and the opposite, when something goes wrong, don't hold, bite your tongue. I had to learn this one. Bite your tongue, write down on a pad, and when the time is right, which is needs to be done quickly, but take that person aside and go over that situation with that person privately. Okay? Mm-hmm. But don't be a micromanager, because people are then become afraid of doing the job properly. You don't trust them. You're checking every little thing they're doing. It's costing you a lot of time and aggravation. And they're never going to take initiative. You're never going to empower them to make good decisions. Your freedom will never happen unless you empower them to make good decisions. So that's one thing. The other thing is the owner doesn't take risks, or it actually is indecisive. It's a coaching call I just did before this one to my group about making good, quick decisions, because that's what leaders do. They make good, quick decisions, and there's no such thing as a wrong decision. The only thing that's wrong is making no decisions. It's costing you money when you know you need something, but you just don't want to pull the trigger because you might fail. You might not be right, which is you have to learn it's okay, or you know it's the right decision, but you don't have the money for it. But when you say you don't have the money for it, it's costing you more money when you don't buy that product, service, or person that helps you grow your business. Sometimes small business owners are small-minded, and you can't, no matter what mistake you might possibly make, it's always fixable. Everything is fixable. Okay, so you can't really do anything that's so horrible. And it's a great story, if you have a minute here, by a woman named Sarah Blakely. I don't know if you know who Sarah Blakely is, but she invented something called spandex, and she became one of the fastest women billionaires in the United States. And she tells a story that every Sunday at the dinner table, a father would ask her and her brother, tell me about one thing that you failed at this week, that you failed at this week. Not that you did well, which is what we normally get asked. That's a question we normally get. But the father was telling them, it's okay to fail. I would need to see you fail, because you will only learn from your failures. And this is why when people ask Sarah Blakely, what's your business plan? She says, I never had a business plan. I think it, I see it, and I do it. Okay, that's it. I feel it and I do it. We think way too much. By the time we get the initiative to do it, it's costing us money. So,
wow.
And yeah, so it's like, that's so powerful. Like, it's okay to fail. When you think it's okay to fail, you'll take risks. And Warren Buffett says that he's only been right about three times in his life. But damn, those three times made him a lot of money, right? So you don't have to be right that often. Just have to be just one really good right.
No, that's absolutely amazing. And it makes a lot of sense. And I love that story, by the way, and thinking about it. And I know the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, my gosh, like that's to reward failure. If you can do that to your kid, I don't have any kids yet, but if you can do that to your kids when they're young, to even just think about that way of thinking, because we're taught in schools or other things, even just a grading system, right? Like you get the big red mark of this. We're taught that failure is not good, which we don't like the feeling of it. But if you can condition yourself, if you can learn from that failure, then failure can be your best friend versus something that you're afraid of or that you think is a bad thing. You know, the whole fail fast movement or all these other things. It's like, man, why wasn't I taught that one when I was younger instead of this big red mark that says, oh, I didn't do my timetable right.
Right. I didn't draw between the lines.
Exactly. No, I love it, Peter. So that being said, final question, two-part question. Number one, if somebody is listening to this and they want more information on your coaching services or to connect with you overall, so question number one, what are typically the right types of fit that are a good fit in terms of client for you and your team? And number two, what's the best way for them to follow up?
Okay, great. So the right fit is someone who owns small business, usually under 200 employees, and this has a major problem. You could be starting a business and you just want to get everything organized and make sure it's running smoothly, or someone that is sitting at home and still working in the middle of the night and just had it. You know, they might be having issues with with relationships, issues with their business, issues with their finances, because they just can't get more time that they need to get things done. So organization issues like that, be the right kind of person for me.
What's the best way to follow up?
How to reach me is, my email is peter@toppractices.com. And my Instagram is pwishnie, W-I-S-H-N-I-E.
Fantastic. Well, Peter, been awesome having you on the show today.
Cool.
Big shout out to Tanisha Richmond out there who invited you and introduced you to this show. So thank you, Tanisha, if you hear this. We always appreciate it, and you send us over guests of people in your network. So thank you for that. And Peter, again, seriously, it's been great having you on the show. I learned a lot. I'm sure my audience will get a lot from this too. Speaking of audience, if you're listening to this for the first time and you're a first time listener, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Love to have you come back and join us for more episodes. If you're watching this on our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe there. Leave us some comments on the video. Love to connect with you in our YouTube community. And Peter, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Adam. Really appreciate it.